Tuesday the 29th of January, Kof Beis Shabbat, Rabbi Peretz Siegel, counterfeit currency is the real value in what we buy from life.
This week's parsha, the Chumash, deals explicitly with the Arba Olos Nezikin, and the pasuk goes through them one by one. Starts off with Shor, starts off with Shor which kills a person, the Halachos of Koifer. It goes on to other Halachos of Shor. Then it goes on to the Nezikin of Shein Veregel, that if a shor is mazik a crop, either through the process of grazing or through the process of trampling, grazing being shein, trampling being regel. And then it goes through the halachas of bor to the halachas of esh. So essentially, the Arba Avos Nezikin are all presented in the sixth parasha. Now, if you look at the Arba Avos Nezikin, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, based on the base, the Gemara sets aside the Arba classic categories of Nezik is Ashor Abor Ba'amav Ve'Hever. Machloik is exactly what Shor is referring to, what Mav is referring to, but essentially let's focus, putting Adam Amazik aside, let's focus on the other three Avos Nezikin. The other three Avos Nezikin, Shor Abor, Shor, which has got three subcategories of Nezikin, Keren, Shein, Veregel, Bor, which is a pet, and Esh, which is a fire. And if you look at those Nezikin, so you see the truth is, as is posited from the Gemara has a Havamina. The Gemara wants to know, suggest that what are the Togos? Because the Mishnah says, Avos Nezikin, the implication is that there are Togos Nezikin. If there's a major category, there are subcategories. And the Gemara investigates what those subcategories are. The Gemara says, what are the subcategories of Keren, of a horn? The subcategories of Keren are the Gif and the Shichar Vita Ve'ita. In other words, when the Torah discusses the Av of Keren, which essentially is when the shore gores with its horn, so it doesn't mean Keren at all. Doesn't mean necessarily, it's not limited to an ox goring with a horn. It extends to any type of malicious behavior, any type of abnormal behavior that an ox does out of context. So there's a chiv of caring. Similarly, when the Gemara discusses what the av of Shein, the Gemara says that there's a havamina that perhaps Shein is only Neshicha. The Gemara says, no, Neshicha is a toga of Keren. Biting is not Shein at all. Biting, if an ox bites, it's an abnormal behavior. And even though it's done with the tooth, it's not considered an Av Melacha of Shein. It's considered an Av Melacha of Keren. Sorry. Toga of Keren. And then the Gemara goes onto Bor, onto Eish. Aish, what a told of Aish would be if a person leaves his Avnon Sakinah Masar, he leaves his load upon the roof and he gets blown off by a wind, that's Aish. Because Aish, the definition of Aish is a mazik where there's a contributory factor from an external force. Generally the wind, the person lights the fire, the wind blows the spark onwards, and the person that initiated the damage, is not fully responsible. There's an external force which is involved. So therefore, it's got nothing to do with fire. Similarly, bor has got nothing to do with digging. Bor is when you create an obstacle, whether it be in the Rishus HaRabim or not. You create an obstacle. You put something in the way and you cause a person to trip up. It's a passive mazik. So you see that the Arba Avos Nezikin are not to be taken literally. That's the principle the Gemara expands upon. And it's obvious, it's poshut, that the Arba Avos Nezikin, when it says Keren, it doesn't necessarily mean anything limited to horn. When it says pit, when it says bor, it's not limited to a hole in the ground. Because what the Gemara expects us to do is to extrapolate the klal, the principle which defines the mazik. That's the starting point. In other words, whenever we see something which is represented in the pasuk in a concrete form, we're not meant to leave it in the concrete form and limit it to the parameters upon which it says. Rather, we're meant to extrapolate the principle and then reapply it to many other situations. And in those situations, you can have strange occurrences. You can have a shame, a tooth, which is really a karen. For example, when an animal bites. There's an interesting, another nuance of this that I recently heard. A strange example of a boar which is aish. A person, a bocha, he placed a yortzeit candle in a bathroom, and he didn't tell his fellow bochim about it. And one of the fellow bochim came and he put something on the shelf where the yortzeit candle was placed. I think it was a shirt, and it burnt up. So the shayla is, what is the din of this yortzeit candle? Is it called aish or is it called boar? One of the characteristics of Aish is that it has a Kerech Acham U'Rabboi. Over here, there's no other contributory factor to this magic. So Rabbi Yitzchok Berkowitz was passive, that's a boar. It's a burning boar. It's a boar because that's passive, it didn't go out, it's not Holy Day Chol Mazik, and therefore you can even have a flame which is considered to be a boar. Because the point is that we don't look at the literal, we don't look at the concrete, we don't look at the physical manifestation, we look at the lambdas. And in lambdas it makes no difference what it is. In lambdas it can be a flame. In lambdas it looks on in the critical, in the concrete, it's a flame, but in lambdas it's a boar. So clearly over here you see the principle that when we look to understand, when we look to fathom into what the world has to impart to us, so the starting point, of course, the starting point is the concrete, but we always depart to the lambdas. We always go beyond the concrete and we try to extrapolate the cloud, we try to understand what is behind that. And you see that it's not only in Lechoyah, it's not only in Shmaitzah, it's not only in Gemara, it's not only in Halacha, but it's possibly in Musar as well. It's interesting. When the Mesilta Yesharim brings up, he starts off in the first perek, and he says, Yesoida Chassidus, Lashoyah Shavoida Atzmima. So he starts off what the basis is. The basis, and he divides it up into two separate categories. He says there's a Yesoida Chassidus, which means there's some type of foundation which will bring about to Chassidus, which is lifting Mishra Hasidim, goes above and beyond. It's the ultimate level of Avoida. And there's a shoresh to avoid atzmima. Then there's another category. The second category is called avoida atzmima. There's avoida, but there's avoida which is tzmima. It's completely shalem. It's tamim. So when he describes the difference between the two, he describes that when a person wants to erect a structure, speaking in allegorical terms, when a person wants to erect a structure of chassidus, so the prerequisite is a yesoid. He needs a foundation. When he wants to grow avoida tamima, so then he needs to have a shoresh. So the Baalei Musar Medayek, they medaktek on the lashon of the Mesilta Yesharim, and they say, what's the chiluk between the two? Harei lechora, there's an overlap. Both the yesoid and both the shoresh, just like a foundation supports the building that is above it, so too a root supports the tree that is above it. But there's a crucial difference between the two. If you go into what a yesoid is and what a shoresh is, they differ tremendously. First of all, a yesoid is something that doesn't happen automatically. When a person wants to create a yesoid, he has to take a spade and he has to dig and dig and dig. And the deeper the yesoid, the higher the building he can erect upon it. With a shoresh, the shoresh is not dug. You place a seed in the ground and the seed grows. So Rav Dessler, others on the diet these lishonos. Rav Albi says the pshat is as follows: that the Mesilta Yesharim in the first perek tells us that there are two mahalchim in avoda. There are two ways a person can go forward in avoda. The one is called kerech habinyan. One is called kerech tzmicha. Kerech habinyan yesoid. There's a foundation. Now, what does the foundation mean? It's implying a whole derech in avoda. There's a certain derech in avoda that, just like when you build a building, it has to be well calculated. You have to be able to have, first of all, you don't begin with the digging. You have to have a plan. You have to go to an architect. You have to decide, first of all, what type of structure you want to erect. And then you have to make sure that you plan, you have to go to an engineer, you have to work out everything to the last T to make sure that everything is done. And then, once you've done that, you have to start to move. You can't just sit there, you can't just wait. You have to go and dig the foundation, then you have to put brick upon brick upon brick upon brick, and that's the only way the structure will be erected. If you don't do that, it's not going to happen by itself. That's called Koach HaBinyan. There's a Mahalach in Avodah, which is using a Mahalach in Avodah, which is, first of all, it's extremely proactive. You can't let it happen. If you don't do it, it won't happen. And there's a different type of Mahalach which you'll see, which is called Koach HaTmicha. But let's just dwell for a moment on that Mahalach of Avodah, which is called Koach HaBinyan. In his Akdama, the Ramchal bemoans the fate of Musa in his day. He says no one's really getting the point of Musa. And he says for two reasons. He says the people who've got the seichel acharif, the people that are bright enough, intelligent enough, quick enough to grasp what avoda is, to grasp what Musa is, they don't waste their time on Musa because it's too obvious. And the people that do invest time in Musa are those people that they can't cup anything else. So it comes out that no one really gets what's going on. Because the people who could have the seichel to comprehend exactly how to affect avoda don't bother studying it. And the people who do study it don't understand it. You see, an interesting yisroel, and it's echoed in the first five letters of Rabbi Yisrael, is that he holds that avoda has to go with seichel. That Musa, a person when he moves forward, which is l'choyer, the yisroel of binyan, he cannot use his rotzen. He cannot just use the desire to grow. He cannot just use, I'm going to try harder. Person that wants to work on his kavani in Twitter, so he decides, okay, listen, I haven't been kavani in Twitter, so let me try work on something. So he says, okay, right, I wasn't kavani in Twitter today. Tomorrow I'm going to be kavani in Twitter. He starts with Ishman Esther and says, right, kavani in Twitter. And of course, it doesn't work. Because, sorry, nothing changed. He wanted, he had a gewaltige rotzen. If a person wants a building to be built, he can want until he's blue in the face. The building will remain unbuilt. Because in Koach HaBinyan you have to do and you have to plan and you have to use your seichel. So there's a mahalach, Yesod HaChassidus, there's a mahalach in Avodah which requires planning, it requires structure, it requires a very strong seichel. You have to understand, if you don't have a kavon in tefillah, why? Is it because you have a chisaron in amunim? Is it because you lack a havon in the milim? Where does the chisaron lie? Once you see where the chisaron lies, so then you can start to say, okay, so perhaps if I spend more time on perish and milim, that will help. Or perhaps if I'm a chazik ma'amunah, that will help. The way a person goes, you have to use your seichel. Otherwise, just one thing to change won't move you forward. You need a Koach HaBinyan. That's the first thing. That's your Yesod HaChassidus. The next thing is Shorash HaAvodah Tmimah. So Chassidus needs a well thought out, pre-planned activity. When it comes to Avodah Tmimah, it's not the same at all. When you have an Avodah Tmimah, you need a Shorash. How do you affect a Shorash? A Shorash is that you take a seed, you put it in the right environment, and you step back. You don't do a single thing. You let everything happen automatically. The seed grows, and whatever happens to the seed will happen to the seed regardless of your effort. On the contrary, if it comes to Koach HaTmicha and you see a little sapling coming out, breaking forth through the surface of the ground, and you start to pull it to make sure that it, to be proactive, to invest in this type of growth, you'll destroy the plant. You'll absolutely destroy it. So there's two Mahalachim Avodah, and they're radically different. If, for example, there's a Mahalachim Avodah which you should affect through Koach HaBinyan, and you try to rely on Koach HaTmicha, nothing will happen. If there's a Mahalach in Avodah which requires Koach HaTmicha, and you try to make it happen yourself, you'll destroy it. So you see, fascinatingly, the Maseilas Yesharim puts across the two Mahalchim, and those two Mahalchim, again, he borrows from the concrete world to invest, to tell us, to teach us about how the Mahalchim work. Once I know how Yesod is, once I know how a building is built, then I can know how Avodah is done. Once I know how a plant grows, then I can see how Avodah can work. So what I really want to expound upon a little bit today is the notion of related to Moshel and Nimshel. A Moshel and a Nimshel. A Moshel and Nimshel. A Moshel is a story that never happened and it never will happen. The whole point, what comes out of a Moshel is only the lesson that's derived. So, there's, interestingly, a Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, in the beginning of Shari Tshuva, in the Ikra Rishon and Charota. So he goes, he explains, he investigates what Charota is. What Charota is. And Charota, he says, has got nothing to do with guilt. Charota is not something that... A person can't affect Charota. A person can't affect regret. You either regret or you don't. I once had a relative that he thought he was getting a great deal. Someone came to him, what was quite a while ago, and they offered him to buy, at the time it was a movie projector, a film projector, and it was a little bit of a shady deal, but nevertheless he did the deal. And what happened was he ended up buying a box which said movie projector on the outside, but in the inside it was filled with bricks. So once he's paid that money and he opened it and he saw the bricks, he hit himself. That's charata. I exchanged something. I was expecting something of value and I got nothing in return. So that's the frustration. So the chayyah, that's what Rabbeinu Yoina says. When he starts with charata, he says an interesting lashon. So the person has to, as it were, chastise himself or come to the realization. Come to the realization in the following way. And he has to say to himself, Ve'ech hechlafti ba'olam choylev. How did I exchange? How did I swap? Ba'olam choylev, olam oimed lo'ad lo'olam. A world which is standing forever. How did I manage to swap something which seemingly is transitory, something which is fleeting? How did I exchange the fleeting? How did I manage to take the fleeting and give up the permanent? How did I manage to change something which essentially could last forever, and instead I took something which expires momentarily? So now, a suggestion. Suggestion is as follows, to say pshat in the Rabbeinu Yoina. That you can learn the Rabbeinu Yoina. In a firm way, he's giving fire and brimstone. He's saying you have to realize the erech of mitzvahs, you have to realize what things, how important things are, and don't exchange them. But you could suggest otherwise. The Rabbeinu Yoina continues, he says, Eich nimshalti kebehemis meisi. He says, how have I become like a behemah? V'holachti achra yitzri kesus kaferet. And I've gone after my yetzer like a horse and a mule. Ein hovin, without understanding, no bina. V'so'isi miderech haskel, and I've gone away from the way of the seichel. The mahalach of the Rabbeinu Yoina is that the cause of charata is a person relates to the world not from a perspective of seichel. Now, if we explain that seichel is what we did with Rabbi Kama, you start off with the principle. If you look from a very non-thinking perspective, from an, as it were, extreme perhaps to use the word, an animalistic perspective, at a Karen remains a Karen. In order to make a Karen, in order to derive the lumdus of Karen, in order to see that a Karen, a horn, is not a horn at all. A horn can be be'ita, it can be kicking, it can be neshifa, it can be biting. You have to depart from the concrete, and you have to start to go towards the seichel. You have to live in a world of seichel. You have to take the concrete, and then you have to say, even though it appears to be this, in truth it's something else. If you look at the world like in an animalistic fashion, so you can't see lambdas, all you see is what meets the eye. You can't see the klal underneath this prat. So perhaps we could suggest in the Rabbeinu Yoina the following vort, that the mahalach of entering into the world, which will cause the charata, is seeing the world in a way where we do not go into the lomdus of the world. We do not understand what's behind the world. We don't understand what the klolim are, which these pratim are representative of. In other words, we see the moshel, but we don't see the nimshel. We see the moshel, we take the world for a moshel. But if you take the world for a moshel, so then you're taking a potential material of understanding growth and amkus, and you're exchanging it for the thing that it is. But the thing that it is something which is choyle, if it doesn't happen. Give an example before we go on with the Rabbeinu Yoina. just one example, but of course it can happen in many different areas. I was on the way here from Eretz Yisrael, and I'm standing in the line waiting for the security check. This is a reasonably long line, and in front of me there's an elderly woman, very, very, very old and very frail, and she's being pushed in a wheelchair. You can see that she's a very frail person, and she's walking with an air hostess, and she's walking with her, looks like her daughter accompanying her, and they get to the security check. And the security check, they've got the x-ray machine where you put in all your possessions, and then you walk through the metal detector. And a new security requirement is not only do you put your phones and your laptops inside the x-ray machine, but you have to take off your jacket. So I see this woman in front of me, and I say, there's no way in the world they're going to make her get out of a rocking, out of a wheelchair and go through the security. She's an old woman. She's an old woman. How is she going to? There's no way they can expect her to. What's the problem? She gets to security. Security guard says, excuse me, madam, but you have to, in Hebrew, of course, you have to take off your jacket and you have to go through the metal detector. So with great difficulty, she's propped up by her daughter on the air hostess, and they manage to take off her jacket, put it through the machine, and she stumbles through the metal detector. That's seemingly exaggerated. That's going too far. Okay. So that's, if you treat the world as a marshal, and you say, maybe that's a marshal, maybe we can use that small occurrence as a limud somewhere else. So then I thought to myself, well, let's abstract it. Let's see where the lambdas is over there. So the lambdas is poshut. The reason why they're checking is there's a threat. There's a tremendous threat. The threat is to the security of the place. And you never know where that threat will come from. There's ra, there's evil that could occur. So now, you see a very important principle. You see that when there's a chashash, even if it's a small chashash, when the consequences are severe, so therefore you explore every option. You don't leave a stone unturned in your exploration of what could possibly cause that ra. So therefore, that's true. I see from the security men, not an old woman that managed to stand up to stumble through the metal detector, but rather you see Ahom Halachim Zahiris. When the Mesir Shraim discusses Zahiris, and he goes into how Nizhar you have to be about when it comes to Neveira, and you have to be Choyker, is this the right thing to do? Is this not the right thing to do? So okay, that's a nice theory. But until it's concretized, I saw it with my own two eyes. I saw what Zahiris is. That even though it seems absurd, but you see, it's real. You see, when there's a real chashash, you take real precautions. So that teaches me a whole limud. That, in other words, I can't just leave that. I can't leave the scenario whereby I saw an interesting occurrence. I use that as material to build. There's many times the Bale Musa, they call this Islamdus, the Bale Musa were very, very concerned about this mahalach, approaching the world of seichel. Approaching the world in a way which is b'derech haseichel. Shlomo HaMelech says, Leichel HaNemola Asa. Go to the ants. No, I've had ants many times. Generally, when you look at ants, they're pests that you have to take out the insecticide and get rid of them. Shlomo HaMelech says, when you see an ant, you see something else. When you see an ant, you see zrizos. Look at the ant. You see how they frantically, they don't stop for a second. So when I look at an ant, I see a pest. But when he looked at an ant, he saw zrizos. He saw zrizos. So you're able to take something which is a little small creature on the ground, and you mislamate from it. You're able to create inside yourself an attire towards zrizos. So if that's true, it could be a completely different, first of all, it's a different mahalachin life. The mahalachin life, which of course is the notion of stamazer when it comes to issues of halacha, you have to find the klal, and you have to extrapolate the klal. But even the areas which are bichlal not nageya, for example, tzadik tamar yifrach. So you look at a tree. Where do you see a tzadik in a tree? Tzadik tamar yifrach. It doesn't say tzadik blossoms like an oak. It doesn't say blossoms like an acacia tree. That's like a tamar, like a palm tree. So that means In the Tomah, you can see a tzaddik. How do you see a tzaddik in the Tomah? Where do you see a tzaddik in a palm tree? We look at a palm tree. Palm tree is different from all other trees. All other trees, they start off with a central trunk, and then they branch out. Branches here, branches there, branches everywhere. And the trunk isn't straight. So, you see, but in a palm tree, there's no branches. There's no branches in a palm tree. It grows one level after another. It grows, sprouts leaves, fruit, and then goes to the next level. Sprouts leaves, fruit. And you see, if you look at the way a palm tree is structured, it's a series of small increments. It goes one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other. So you see, a mahalachin avoda of a tzaddik. First of all, a tzaddik doesn't deviate. He doesn't dissipate his energies. He doesn't put his curses in all different directions. He's extremely focused on where he's going. He knows he's got one path to get to. And how did he get there? One step after another step after another step, slowly but surely, and he produces fruit. There's always payers. He's always producing things. But in his production, he doesn't deviate from the source. He doesn't stay away. He doesn't... So, you see that the whole world, the whole world, we can apply the same lomdus we apply to Bava Kama. We can use it as a mahalach in understanding and reading life. We can read life in a longer fashion. We can extrapolate klalim and be mislamed from the world. When you see a building, the Mesillas Yesharim looks at the building and he saw a mahalach in avoda. He looks at the tree, he saw a mahalach in growth. Every single thing, there's an interesting Avotzer of Nosson. So Avotzer of Nosson says a fascinating thing. He says that everything which is created in the world was created in the Adam. And then he goes through strange examples, explains how the rivers, there's rivers in the world and there's rivers in Adam. Where are the rivers in the Adam? It's his tears. And there's forests in the world and there's forests in Adam. Where are the forests of an Adam? His hair. Not mine. But he tried, and finally the Avotzer of Nosson sums up and it says, Lamducha, to teach you that whatever there is in the world is also in the Adam. Fascinating theory. It means that an Adam, generally the world is a collection of protein. And that creates the whole world. You see, the Avotzer of Nosson, just like the world is a collection of protein, but the world itself is a cloud which includes those protein, and Adam is the same thing. And Adam is different from every other creation in the world. Everything which is in the world is in the Adam. And the Bali Muslims say, therefore, when you see something in the world, you can see that that's something which you can learn from yourself. If it's the tzmich of a tree, or if it's the yisoid of a foundation, each thing is a gilu. So if you say that pshat, so perhaps it lends a new pshat in the Rabbeinu Yona. When the Rabbeinu Yona said, "Va'eichech lafti ba'olam choleif olam oimed la'ad la'olam," he's not saying only a thought of that you have to have priorities. And you can't exchange something which is the choleif. You can't swap something which is something of value for something which is cheap. Something which is erech ha'tayra shouldn't be swapped for something which doesn't. He's saying that how come my charat is when I saw the world with pure gashmistika eyes. I saw the world, I didn't see midirech ha'seichel. I saw the world as just what it was. I took it at face value. If I took it at face value, it means I didn't use the world as a kli for avoda. And in doing so, I swapped the world, which could have been a world which is oimed la'olam. Because had I used it as a kli for avoda, so then that world would have stayed forever. What I exchanged it for? An olam choleif. I looked at a tree, and I saw it as a tree. The tree's going to die. If I look at a tree and I find a mahalach in avoda, which is nogea le'emes, that will last forever. And that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah continues and he says, "Eich nimshalti kebahemos nimeisi v'olachti achra yitzri kusus kaveret ein hovin." And then he says, "V'hinei haboya nofach ba'api nishmas chaim chachmas le'e b'tzei v'seichel." The boya oidam put inside me the seichel. He put inside me the bina. L'hakira l'yir mefonot v'limshal b'guf v'chol to'odaisof. He put the seichel to rule over the oidam agashmi. He wants me to live in a world of seichel. When I live in a world of seichel, so I teach everything. Everything in the world is melamed oisi. It teaches me. It gives insight and understanding into what I do with life. And therefore, l'choyer, with this Rabbeinu Yonah, it can perhaps lead us in a way whereby we use our lomdisha kop, not only in the Gemara, we can use our lomdisha kop to learn up every situation that encounters us in life.